good to have you here. Just so you know, this is a totally different podcast episode than I normally do, because what I'm doing right now is showcasing the amazing people that are going to be at the Badass Business Summit, Donnie Boyven's event, good buddy of mine. And I'm speaking at it, I'm going to MC it, and I'm doing my best to encourage you to come join me there. So if you are checking this out because somebody sent it to you because they're going to the Badass Business Summit, just come. If you're doing this because you normally listen to my podcast, I would love to see you there. And if you don't normally listen to my podcast, just so you know, this thing is mostly about how you build a community for business development. And it's a lot about marketing and category design and a bunch of advanced concepts of what you need to do to establish a community and not just like, have a Facebook group. But nonetheless, check this out. You're going to want to meet all these amazing people that are going to be at the Badass Business Summit, badassbusinesssummit.com. I'm going to leave you to it. Oh, for the record, I rap right now to intro my thing. So if you don't want to listen to it, just kind of like skip forward a minute and the interview will start. If it's your first time listening, then I wrote the song for you. Enjoy. If you know how it is, then you know how it might be. But think what it would look like if you grow your own community. It ain't easy. That's why you're listening to hear experiences from others just like you and me. Welcome to the B2B Community Builder Podcast, a show that was started because if you can unlock the power of having a community around your business, then you will create a source of referrals, validation, marketing content, and product feedback that will be unbeatable. But who has time to think about building a community when you need to be making sure that your team has what it needs to succeed in serving clients and bringing in revenue? That is why we'll be talking to business leaders like you and I that have cracked the code on why the community play is so valuable, how to implement tactics that got them there while still serving short-term goals, and what they can teach you that they have mastered. This show's for you if you are a CEO, CMO, or simply a rainmaker that has realized that without a community, you are just a commodity, but haven't figured out how to add it to your infinite list of priorities. This show is for you if you are a community professional or trying to be a community professional that is trying to convince leadership about the need to invest in a community strategy. This show is not for you if you think transactions are more valuable than relationships. I am your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez, co-founder of BeTheStage.live, a marketing company that specializes in relationship-driven growth. I invented the relationship flywheel, and hopefully, I'm your new best friend. So smash that subscribe button, leave a rating when you do, and get ready to plug into the power of community creation for business development. Let's go. I've been doing these like super organically, just kind of talking, and at some point a podcast breaks out. But you know, why don't you tell our friend who just tuned into our conversation what you mean by why we would talk so much karaoke?
Well, because last year we had an impromptu karaoke party, and it was a highlight for sure.
For sure. I remember you when we were trying to organize the karaoke party, you're like, you don't understand. I'm really good at karaoke. I'm going to crush this thing. And then you did.
One of my gifts.
One of your gifts. All right, Rachel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Rachel Simon. I am based in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a company called Connect the Dots Digital. I help people with their LinkedIn presence. So I like to say I help people look good on LinkedIn. I work with individuals and teams, really building from the foundation of a great profile through how to build a strategic network, use content efficiently and effectively in order to meet whatever their specific goals are.
I love it. And you've been hosting these like awesome kind of, what do you do a weekly? Town halls. Tell me about those things. Those things are badass.
I do a weekly LinkedIn audio event with my friend Bobby Umar, who the Thought Leadership Branding Club. So that is, you know, he got really big on Clubhouse, and that was the club he launched through Clubhouse, and then he moved it into different platforms because now there's audio on LinkedIn and there's Twitter Spaces. So I do that every Tuesday. I was like, what day is it? Every Tuesday afternoon on different topics, and because there's just so much to talk about when it comes to LinkedIn, even on LinkedIn.
What are people kind of, people coming to those calls? What do you find is like generally what they're, what are they generally mistaken about? Like, what is one of the things that you're starting to hear when you're interacting with everybody? You're like, no, I think the market's got it wrong over here.
I don't know if it's a mistake as much as like yesterday's session was just profile, like a profile AMA, and people, you know, it's, they really struggle with how to craft a good headline. You know, how do I write my about section? What are the things I need to be talking about? Do I talk about myself? Do I talk about my customers? Like, what's the right way about going doing it? So I don't think it's as much of the only people I like to yell at and wag my finger at are the ones who use like blatant automation tools and just spam us all day long on LinkedIn. They get a big, but most people are doing the best they can. It's just a very complicated platform and it's hard. It's changing so much. It's very hard to know what's the new way to do this. What's the best way of making sure that I'm resonating with my target audience.
What's one of the more recent changes that have happened that are making people act differently or need to act differently about?
Well, I mean, I think this, you know, there's always new features. Like most everybody should have access to the audio feature. So should be able to start their own audio events. They just launched that you can add a link in a photo. So I think you have to do it on your phone, but you can actually add a live link in a graphic. So that's pretty cool because LinkedIn is kind of known for not being super into sending you off platform. Like they want to keep you inside their little house.
Yeah.
So that's pretty brand new. But I'd say one of my favorite new profile features is that now you can connect your skills, which is like towards the bottom of your profile, you can go and connect those to your experience, both current and past. So you can spend some time assessing your skills and saying, all right, project management, I used this skill at when I worked at company A and company B, and I use it in my current. So people can see how you apply your skills and how you've applied them throughout your career. I think that's a cool feature.
Interesting. I just went through that not knowing, right? Like I was like on my profile, it said like, my profile is like 98% complete and you got like 2%, pick a skill. And I picked the skill and then it asked me like where I used it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't realize that that was a thing. I didn't realize that I hadn't done that, but that is.
Yeah. So now what you should do, like, and I kind of said, I'd like to sort of think of this as something you can do while you're watching TV in the evening or, you know, whatever. Go and edit all your skills. So click into each skill, click the edit button, and then it's going to ask you where you used it. So you can go back to your current list of skills and then make a connection between them and your past experience or your current experience.
Interesting. As a user, am I looking at that when I'm networking with someone? Is that more like what an HR director is looking for when they're trying to hire somebody? Like what's the UX of that?
Definitely on the job side for sure. But, you know, LinkedIn is using all those keywords that are throughout your profile. They use all of those when search terms are put in. So anybody putting in certain search terms, that's how they're going to find profiles. I also think as somebody who has a service related business, somebody who can look and see, okay, well, like for me, all right, well, Rachel's had her LinkedIn business for 4.5 years, but she's used LinkedIn in these five things that she did previously. So it may help with people sort of wanting to understand, do you actually have the credibility that you say you have? I mean, again, you're still self-selecting, right? But most people are relatively honest when it comes to their profiles.
What is, should I spend time getting recommendations from people or like, yeah. What does that do?
I mean, social proof right then and there. Don't you want reviews on your podcast? You want reviews on different things. So like it is it's reviews, Google reviews. I mean, any other reviews? Yes. You should absolutely get recommendations. You don't need a million you don't need like 100 recommendations, but I would say you want to get 4 to 5 new recommendations a year. Okay. I think it looks kind of weird when you haven't had a new recommendation in like 5 or 6 years.
Okay. And that is if I am trying to sell somebody something on LinkedIn or I'm trying to get hired on LinkedIn for something, right? Like, does it make sense if I'm just networking?
I have written and have received plenty of recommendations from people who I just know well on the platform, like people who I have collaborated with on things, or, you know, I have a few from some of the other like bigger LinkedIn experts out there. And that gives me, I feel like, a lot of credibility. If I have like a thumbs up from this person who has been doing this for, you know, 10 plus years, and they say I'm good at it, then that gives me extra credibility.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, like, for me, like, I would guess I would want to.
You can ask your podcast guest to write you.
Yeah. Podcast guest. I'm like I'm thinking like strategically, right? Like if I'm like thinking a step further, right? Like I definitely want somebody to be like, dude, this guy knows how to build a community that drives business results, right? Like for sure, I want that. I definitely want somebody being like, Pablo is a marketing genius and yada, yada, yada. And I probably also want Donnie to be like, man, Pablo took the stage at Badass Business Summit. He was the best freaking speaker. Like, if you're thinking about hiring him as a speaker, go, right? Like different kind of like things that allow people to see you in the light of new opportunities that you want to create for yourself, right?
Agree. And then, you know, it's also nice, like you can write recommendations for people who've been on your podcast, you know.
Yeah.
So-and-so was a great guest. They brought so much energy. You know, if you're looking for somebody to talk about X, Y, and Z, you should definitely invite them to join on your podcast. Cool. I always try to write recommendations, like when I've been a guest on someone's podcast, because it's like, that's what they do. So I can share my experience, you know, that so-and-so is a great host. Like they ask good questions. The conversation was fun. They did a great job promoting it. This, that, and the other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I look forward to my recommendation.
There you go. Exactly.
All right. Last like tactical question that I want to just ask you more about you. Headline. I'm a big fan of hook points, right? Like I know the importance of a headline. What are your like headline tricks and tips?
Don't make it about you. Make it about the problem that you solve for your ideal customer. So never, ever, ever default to your title and your current company. That is just, and I've said this a million times, so I'm sure somebody will be rolling their eyes, and I'll probably say it at the summit too when I present. Unless you're the CEO of Delta Airlines, you don't have any. There's no reason to put title company for your headline. It's a waste. So talk about who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for. Mm-hmm. Add in a fun fact towards the end, and keep the first 40 to 50 characters. That's where the most important words and phrases need to go, because that's what people can see when you are sending connection requests or commenting on posts, this, then the other. Otherwise, they have to click and read to your profile to read all of it. So front load it, make it, you know, fun, high value, and really clear about what it is that you do, so that people immediately want to connect with you.
Don't make it about you feels like the advice I give the most for almost everything that has to do with like building a relationship, connecting with somebody, like sending an email, like when it comes to communication, like don't make it about you is probably like the number one thing I tend to recommend to people. It's so like, you know, it's one of those things that I think only people that really understand, I don't know, influence and human relationships and are like people like you are, you know, totally get that stuff. Like, do you find yourself saying that over and over again?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Like in the about section for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely don't make it about you. Like too many people want to write like the epic poem of their work history. You know, like I've been in my industry for so many blah, blah number of years. It's like, tell me what is the problem you solve? Who do you solve it for? And why are you good at it? I mean, we want to know why you're good at it. Mm-hmm. I want to know that you actually can solve my problem, but first I need to know that you understand what my problem is.
Awesome. Yeah. At what point did you decide that you wanted to be a world-class LinkedIn expert?
Well, I very much fell into it. I think that just like most good things in life. So I had come from working nonprofit. I was in nonprofit for 15 years and was doing marketing, and I launched a social media for the agency where I was working. I decided with my husband pushing, he's like, you could do marketing consulting. So I started doing that in about 7 years ago, and happened into a client who wanted to include in an email to connect with the CEO, this company on LinkedIn. And I checked out his profile, and this guy had been in his industry for a really long time, and he had 12 connections. One, two. And I was like, well, I'm not sure I'd recommend putting that in an email, because I'm pretty sure no one's going to connect with this guy, because clearly he does not use LinkedIn ever. And I was like, let's start to build his network with people, you know, his colleagues and clients, and let's get the real world people, you know, in his LinkedIn network, and started building his network and helping him with content and helping him with messaging. And in a year, they got like 8 new clients.
Let's go.
Wow, there's something here. So I started working on it with a few other clients, and realized that there was definitely a lot of opportunity, learned a lot from a lot of smart people, and decided to kind of dive in fully in the beginning of 2018. And here we are.
Good time to dive all in on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Definitely been a huge growth.
For sure. You know, and I think the pandemic just like really supercharged everything on LinkedIn, because we just couldn't do face-to-face networking. And so people got really into their LinkedIn presence, and it made it a little less buttoned up, a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. For me, it was Gary Vee kind of right around 2017, 2018. He was just like, LinkedIn, you know, like he started going after it and talking about this idea that it's evolving to be more like Facebook, and people don't really know it yet. He mentioned kind of like the ideas of, they've built all this capability for native content, and yet nobody's using it, so you're going to get seen. And it was like super aha moments for me that happened there.
It remains to be like the best place for organic reach as far as social media platforms are concerned. Like, you cannot beat the organic reach, because there's such a small fraction of users who actually are engaged in posting on a regular basis. So there's just a lot less noise to filter through.
Yeah. It's like 3% of users actually post.
And it's really like 1% of that 3% that is posting what they consider to be regular is weekly. Is that crazy?
That is crazy, considering that I post like 2-3 times a day.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that, but like, it's so real. Like, the effect is so real. People are just like, yeah, you're everywhere. Like, I see you all the time. Like, you're just always top of mind. Right. Like,
and if
you
can, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Let's talk about Donnie. Why is he cool? Like, what, how'd you enter the Donnie Boyvind Badass Business Summit universe?
Okay. So I met Donnie on Clubhouse in 2021, because I spent a lot of time there, just like lots of us did, because we were trapped at home and couldn't talk to people. And Donnie was there was a room that a fellow friend of ours ran, Liam Darmody ran a room every morning called Linked International Office Hours. And Donnie would be in there. I'd be dropping my daughter off at school, and I'd be listening in my car. And Donnie had an NS, like, not safe for work warning on his Clubhouse photo, which I thought was hysterical. And I thought he was like a really, I appreciated his non-filteredness. Yeah. And I think we got on a virtual coffee. He tried to get me to start the Atlanta Success Champion Networking chapter. I politely declined. I said, hit me up when there's one that starts. And so a couple months later, one of them started, and, you know, I decided to go to the summit last year. Well, first of all, he asked me to speak last year. I totally chickened out because I was incredibly intimidated by the idea of it. And then when I finally got my nerve, like, and said, I'll do it, he's like, you're too late. So, But the summit was amazing last year. It was, I got so much out of it. I took so, like, I, first of all, we know it was so much fun because we had all of our fun times, like our karaoke times.
Super fun.
But the people were great. And I took pages and pages of notes and I actually implemented a lot of the stuff that I learned. It wasn't just like shove the notes in my desk and then move on.
You know, that's not a conversation that I've had with a lot of people. Well, this is probably like the fourth or fifth one that I do, but like the, what did you implement from the summit, right? Like that.
Yeah, the best example is I went to Melissa Henry's session on personal branding and personal brand photos. And as she was presenting about why you want to infuse yourself, especially as a solopreneur, into your online presence, like your website. And she was talking about using stock images. And I'm looking at my website going, oh my God, my website is like all a bunch of like cheesy, you know, like guys shaking hands, like, hey. And I'm like, I got to get rid of this stuff. And so I was really inspired by that. I had a credit with a photographer here in Atlanta because we were supposed to have a family celebration in March of 2020. That didn't happen.
Why not? That's good.
Right. And I was like, could you do personal brand pictures for me? And I did a whole photo shoot. I completely redid my website and put myself front and center on my website. And I would not have even considered doing that.
Oh yeah. Assuming that that worked out well for you.
It did. Yeah. I get a lot of good feedback on it. Like, I feel like it's a much better representation of what the experience of working with me is like.
I love that. I love that. That's cool. Yeah. Now when I think about it, I'm like, that's the first time that I, at the Badass Business Summit, was the first time that I got serious about creating a sales process for myself, right? Like that was a big takeaway that they talked about. I feel like a lot of like nodding heads are just like, oh yeah, usually I just get on the phone with someone. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's been really big for me. So yeah, a lot of takeaways from that summit. Why do you think it is so heavily female in that room? Like that was like this like really surprising thing. Cause Donnie is like a cussing sailor and Kevin is an army guy, you know, introvert. And I get there and it's a bunch of like really powerful, you know, like, I don't know, really admirable woman. And it just surprised me. What do you think attracts the high ratio of like badass woman?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because I agree. Like if you go to the Success Champion Networking website, it's very male.
It's very broski.
Yeah. It's like a lot of airplanes and stuff. I mean, I think it might just be like, you know, you meet people like, you know, everybody, I mean, it's networking. So it's like this one invites this one to come and this one invites this one to come. And so yeah. Just a bunch of great, smart people, but you're right. There were a lot of ladies there, a lot of smart, awesome women. There were some cool dudes there as well. Cool. But like, remember there was like a whole group of guys and they really kept to themselves. Like they didn't really network with anybody. So
there was a funny, like they were like a part of like a construction. I don't want to talk to
a company. I don't know. But like, I think we'll have, I'm interested to see who's going to be there this year. I think it's going to be a fun group for sure.
Love it. Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm super excited. You are like a queen bee networker, right? Like you come from the nonprofit world. That's like super get your chops in as a networking person. I feel like a lot of people are going into, you know, this, I have to assume that outside of our summer camp friends that are coming back from last summit, there's going to be some folks in the room that haven't been to a conference in a while, right? Like what's your kind of go-to piece of advice into walking into a room full of people you don't know?
Yeah, it can be really scary. And honestly, in certain situations, like that's not a comfortable place for me. I think it's good to be able to like identify a friendly face, like somebody who smiles at you, who you feel like you can approach and have a conversation with. I think it can be a little intimidating if you don't know anyone. Hopefully, if you know at least one person, you can kind of hit the room together. But, you know, I know the group, you know them, everyone's super friendly. There's no like everyone's approachable, I think, in that crowd.
Yeah. 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 I would totally say anybody walking into that room is just like lean into the fact that everybody's going to be super pumped to talk to you no matter who you are.
Yeah. I mean, it is a networking event. So like, we're here to talk to you, like talk to us. Right. Yeah. For sure. But it can definitely be, I think it depends on the vibe of the room. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've gone to your fair share of networking events. Sometimes if it's more of a formal thing, it can be more, I think, scarier.
Yeah. You know, I've been to every kind of networking event, obviously, but like at some point after my 100th networking event, I realized that like anybody that you introduce yourself to, you're doing them a favor. Cause the worst thing is to be at a network, you know, in a room full of people feeling like you're by yourself. So, you know, anytime that you're like starting a conversation with anybody, like I remember being at a networking event with this guy, his name was like Kevin something or another. And we were kind of wrapping up our conversation and he was just like looking around for who else to talk to. There's a guy with his back turned, just like slapped him on the back. He's like, "Hey man." The guy turned around and he was like pumped to talk to him. And I kind of think of that moment and I'm just like, I take absolute license in over introducing myself to anybody in a room, just because I think like you're doing them a favor, right? Like you're kind of just avoiding them from having to not know who's next.
Agree. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think being able to introduce people, you know, so it's like if somebody's coming who doesn't really know that many people and you strike up a conversation with one person, chances are they're going to introduce you to somebody else. So you'll know people. I think it's just go with that open mind and be prepared to push yourself a little out of your comfort zone. Yeah. But that's usually where the good stuff happens anyway.
Amen. Rachel, how do people connect with you if they want to get to know you before the event?
They should connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the best place.
Spoiler alert.
On LinkedIn. I have a teal background on my profile photo. I'm super excited to, I was working on my outline for my workshop. It's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah. Any like little teasers, any teaser you want to drop in there?
I mean, it's going to be there's multiple like activities that I have planned during it. So it's not just going to be me talking about LinkedIn for 90, whatever, an hour plus. It is like, everybody should walk away with at least 2 to 3 things that they actually like have done either on their profile or they can continue working on after the fact. So that's my goal, is for it to be very tactical.
Nice. I'm pumped to see you again. I'm pumped to,
I'm excited. I'm making my karaoke list. I've been jotting them down so I don't forget.
I love it. Yeah. I got a notes, document in my phone. That's just karaoke songs.
That's where mine is too.
Awesome. Well, it's great talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Well, there you have it. This thing is going to be chock full of cool people and having a great time, plus taking a bunch of super actionable takeaways to help your business. So go to badassbusinesssummit.com. It is September 22nd to 24th in Fort Worth, Texas. And really, I just want to hang out with you. So I hope that you come. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast because somebody, you know, showed you this thing because of a Badass Business Summit speaker showed it to you or whatever, I appreciate you listening. Give the other ones a shot. If you want to check out episode 7, it's when I do my intro story rap thing. First couple of seasons are totally different than this last season when I'm doing all live shows, because this thing of doing live internet talk shows is how you build a community. This is the way for small businesses and solopreneurs and the most efficient way to build a community. So I hope that you stick around, join me on a live one, and I want to meet you at the Badass Business Summit, where I will be emceeing and keynote speaking on how to do this. So until next time, remember, relationships will always beat transactions.